This is the seventh message on the book of Jonah, and the more I study this book, I feel like this is a gospel in the Old Testament. Does anybody agree with me? You don't have to say amen. If you agree with me, could you say amen? There are some people who are seeing this. Because the story of Jonah is really about the story of Yeshua. Jesus said that. So it's very clear that we see Jesus in this book. In fact, I clearly see Jesus in this book. Okay? So, title of the message for today, if you could just look at it, Should Not I Pity? Should I not pity? He's saying, am I not right to pity? Okay? Basically, he's saying, isn't it right to pity? To be merciful and to love and to save and desire to save. Who's saying this? God is saying this. Am I not right? He's saying, it is right. And he's a good person, isn't he? He desired you to be saved. Do you desire that? Do you desire others to be saved? Do you really desire it? There are different things you desire, don't you? Even at this moment, you desire. I want to get a job. I want to get a spouse. I want to get a better job. I want to get a better, no, not better spouse. Yeah. Some people think that though. Yeah. You know, there are different desires, but he desires you to be saved. That's his concern. What is your concern? What is your driving concern of your life? You know, he's a really good person. However, the real question is, what did he do about that? So he desired that, but did he do anything about it? Well, you know, we're going to look at it in Jonah chapter 4. I am so right that I am angry enough to die. I love that statement. Don't we say that? I am right. That's why we get angry. Anger has to do what you feel and what you believe is right and being violated. When you see, as a child, seeing your mother get beat up by your dad, it's not an uncommon thing. You feel, the child feels, that is so wrong. That is not right. So you get angry, angry. The child gets angry. But only thing is the child cannot express his anger or else you get beat up. And sadly, that just happens to so many places all over the world throughout history. Right? And that anger turns into depression. So wants to die. I explained to you last week, anger has two very distinctive characteristics. Anger, it's more than psychological expression here. It's very theological and biblical, okay? Anger, number one, always has a direction. You're never angry at the world. It always has a direction. You're angry at someone. You're angry at God. You're angry at your boss. You're angry at your spouse. You're angry at your father. Angry at someone. Second characteristic of anger is, are you ready for this? Anger always kills. It always kills. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you don't kill someone, as Cain killed Abel, his brother, you kill yourself. It's going to kill your marriage. It's going to kill your parenting. Can you imagine doing parenting with anger? That's not good, right? Can you imagine doing ministry with anger? Is that possible? Absolutely possible. Right? So, yeah, we'll talk about anger. And Ben, basically Jonah said, I'm so right. I'm angry enough to die, but he never dies. But can I just tell you something? The gospel is God is angry enough to die. Did you know that? God is so right that he was angry enough to die. That's the message of the cross. He himself died and poured wrath upon himself, Yeshua, Jesus, right? And by so doing, what did he do? He poured his judgment and disaster upon himself. Why? Because he is so right. He's so righteous. That's exactly what Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says. By so doing, shedding his blood, he has demonstrated his righteousness. Okay, with that as an introduction, we're coming to the close of the book of Jonah. Last week, we talked about Jonah's very peculiar response to God's merciful relent or saving of the Ninevites. It's the greatest revival. I mean, he was the preacher. He was the messenger. He was the missionary. Shouldn't you be glad? Logically speaking, you just delivered, and they repented, they responded. And, Jonah responded with a very strange response. Right? And anger has to do with his right. And he just feels it's not right for the Ninevites to be saved. What is that? Deep hatred. We could call it racism. He was a Jew, and they were the Assyrians. They don't deserve to live. In fact, they should die. Okay? That's what this is. Deep anger. Deep hatred. Right? Where is that coming from? Where is that coming from? We're going to talk about that today. And for those of you who are following Jonah, Book of Jonah, made up of four chapters. And chapter 4, I already mentioned it last week. When you read it carefully, you get disappointed. You feel like, is this chapter necessary? That's my question. Okay, is this chapter necessary? We could finish Book of Jonah in chapter 3. There's a great revival, mission accomplished, and the will of God is done. We could stop right there, right? But there is chapter 4. What is that chapter? That's the love of God. For Jonah like you. That's the love of God. Okay? Can you imagine? He just trashes anybody who rebels against him like Jonah. Then who's going to be sitting here? And who's going to be standing here and deliver the word of God? Right? Jonah chapter 4 is the gospel. It really is the gospel. And we will see Jesus in that chapter today. Okay? So, to this Jonah's ridiculous, unpredicted, angry, displeased, and he wanted to die. Jonah wanted to die. He was so angry that he wanted to die. You know? But he never dies in this book. I think his life continued. He say, I want to die, I want to die. I don't know whether you say that. People say that. I don't want to live anymore. Right? So, but he never dies in this book. But the Lord's response to this ridiculously twisted, angry Jonah was teaching him a lesson by revealing his heart and revealing his own heart. That's Christianity. God needs to reveal your heart. And God needs to reveal his heart. When they meet, your heart will change. Will change. Okay, that's what Jonah chapter 4 is about. So, if you remember last week, we kind of ended with God's gentle nudge toward this angry Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? And what was the answer? Answer is no answer. Jonah did not answer. That's where we left off. And we move on to what happens next. What did Jonah do and how did God respond? And then eventually it ends with a lesson, life lesson of God toward Jonah, which I feel is unnecessary by revealing his heart and then revealing his own heart. Okay, so that's the message. So Jonah didn't answer. Instead, what did he do? Read carefully, because there is Jesus in this chapter, which we will see later on. Jonah went out of the city of Nineveh. He went out. What's he doing? What do you do when you get angry with your family? You go to your room and slam the door and you sulk. You wait until someone comes to and apologize. Right? Jonah is sulking. Jonah went out of the city and sat at the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade. He's making himself very comfortable, isn't he? Right? So, yeah. Till he should see what would become of the city. What's he doing? He's sulking. Basically, he is upset. He wants to die. He does not agree with God. He feels he's so right. He gets out of the city and kind of like make a little shelter for himself and kind of see what's going to happen to the city. What's supposed to happen to the city? People repented and God already relented from the disaster, but he wants to see more. What does he want to see? He wants to see them destroyed. Don't you think that sometimes? I wish he gets hit by a truck. Don't you think? Don't you think that sometimes? You can kill him, but I wish he gets struck by a lightning or something. Anger, right? Something very, very filthy is happening in his heart. And Lord's response, and by giving him a life lesson. Okay, look at it carefully. Now the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, Lord God, very special construction of the person of God. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah. It's a plant, singular, one plant. That's all it takes. Okay, one plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. In other words, this one plant kind of covered his head, and from the scorching sun, it gave him a shade so he was a little bit more comfortable. So it's about Jonah's comfort, right? So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the vine. One vine, okay? But when the dawn came, that's very next morning, God is has a strange sense of humor. Gives him a joy. Very next morning, he takes it away, right? So when dawn came up the next day, God appointed one worm, with the mission of God. What's the mission? To attack the plant, that particular plant, so that it withered. And then when the sun rose, finally the morning came, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of the Jonah. Could you picture that? Jonah was pleased just for one day. Oh, thank you. Right? Thank you for bringing me comfort. I feel comfortable. Thank you. Glad. Exceedingly glad. And next morning, one worm comes and chew it up. So it withered like that. It's gone. And then the wind came, scorching east wind came, and sun beat down on the head of the Jonah so that he was faint. Now he's like so uncomfortable, right? And he asked that he might die again. You know, he asked often to die. I mean, I think this is in habit, right? He asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Same question. Is it right? Are you right to be angry over the plant? Do you see what God is doing? Right? And he said, look at his response, like a little tantrum child. Yes, I am right. I'm absolutely right. I'm angry enough to die. I'm totally right. Can you see what he's doing? He's saying to God, I am right. Yes, I do well. I am right. And I'm angry and angry enough to die. But he never dies. He's just a little rascal, right? Ridiculous person. Frustrates me when I read it. Okay, so that's what happens. And then finally, Lord's final message, revealing Jonah's heart and revealing his heart with a question. Okay, here's the question. And then the Lord says, you pitied the plant. That's what you pity. You are concerned about the plant. You love the plant. You treasure the plant. That's why you're angry. You pity the plant for which you did not labor. You did not give birth. Literally, that's what it means. He's not your son. You did not give a birth. Nor you make it grow. You made it to grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. In other words, it did not last 24 hours. One day. It can't be that important to you. But you're so upset. See what God is doing? Revealing his heart. And then he reveals my heart. You pity the plant? I pity Nineveh. That's what he's doing, right? Should I not pity Nineveh? That great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between left hand and right hand. And probably referring to young children who doesn't know the difference between left and right hand. That's an expression. So scholars estimate 120,000 children. So whole entire city covers about 600,000 population. 600,000 souls. And should I not concern about that, Jonah? That's what he's talking. What are you doing? You're concerned about that one plant. And I should not be concerned about 600,000 souls and much cattle. So that's the message for today. And let me kind of like unpack and explain that. So the first thing that we see is Jonah's response to Lord's provision of one plan. What was the response? He was right there. Verse 6. Jonah was exceedingly glad. Jonah was glad? No. Jonah was exceedingly glad. Gadol glad. How many of you are so glad about something right now? Can you say amen? Oh man, you know, I'm so glad about something. There are different things that gives joy in our lives. There are important things. Family, marriage, decent job, health, provision of God. All these things give me comfort and joy. But it is a little different when you feel you are exceedingly glad, right? Besides, if you look at Jonah, it makes me chuckle because just a moment ago, he was exceedingly displeased and angry. Now, just a few hours later, he's exceedingly glad. Do you see the swing of the emotion? Are you like that? When you look at someone like this, what do you sense? Wow, that's so extreme, isn't it? That is so extreme. From exceedingly displeased to exceedingly joyful. Gadol, displeasure and angry, and gadol, joy. Just kind of see something is not right about this person. And how did that happen? It is by Lord appointing one plant over Jonah's head. Can you think with me, people? And I was really thinking about this. Lord provided one plant at a right time, at a right location, with a right orientation, so that it will cover his head. What do you sense? That's the perfect, precise, accurate provision or providence of God. That's why Jonah was able to enjoy that shade that Lord provided. And this week I was thinking about, you know, I'm really thankful. And I was thinking, why is my heart thankful? And I thought, it's because God placed that shade over my head. He could take away that leaf right now. But he has that shade over my head. I feel at peace. Mom, what I'm trying to say is, do you think you are sitting in this room at this church by coincidence? If Lord is precise enough and accurate enough to place one vine plant over Jonah's head so that he could bring comfort and all of a sudden discomfort. You think you're sitting here by accident? Coincidence? I don't think so, right? Do you think you're married to someone you're sitting next to? You're happy with that spouse, or sometimes, oh, that's my cross, people say. Yeah. Do you think that's an accident? What about your parents? You think it's an accident? I don't think it's an accident. You're sitting in this church. You are sitting where you're sitting because Lord's provision. He provides to bring perhaps joy in your heart right now. Perhaps you are very, very uncomfortable right now. Whatever may be the case. That's why you are where you are. It's His sovereign provision. So Jonah was very, very glad. And moments ago, you know, he's in an odd situation where the enemy city of his, the great city of Nineveh, was repented. There is an incredible thing just happened. So he was very, very upset just a moment ago. Now he's very, very glad. What do you sense about this person? Okay. Jonah is pretty distorted, malfunctioning emotional health, don't you think? Don't you laugh at this person? Something is way off, don't you think? Exceedingly angry and exceedingly displeased and exceedingly glad over one plant. That's not good. What we see here in Jonah is he is very selfish and petty. I don't know whether you see it. Do you think he has a grand scale of heart? I don't think so, right? I don't think anybody would say that. God is revealing his pettiness and selfishness. You know what selfishness is? Sin by nature is selfish. Self-glorifying, self-exalting, self-focused, self-absorbing. It's all about me. It is about your autonomy. It is about your sovereignty, your personal sovereignty. You don't want anybody to deal with you. You don't want to listen to anybody. You're always right. You live for yourself. And that's what sin is. Sin by nature is shockingly selfish and shockingly exalting to be king. It's about your sovereignty of yourself. That's what we see here, sin. He makes him, you know, he's very, very selfish and he's very petty compared to Gadol. Gadol, heart of God, and petty, heart of Jonah. And his emotion swings from one extreme to the other. What about yours? What about yours? That's what he pities. But Lord's lesson continues. Next day, the dawn came up very early in the morning. A worm gets a assignment from the Lord, and it was very feisty one. Can you imagine a lazy worm like Jonah? I don't want to go. I'm going to Tarshish. But this worm was very obedient. I want you to go bite and chew that vine up. Lord appointed him and made it chew the vine. Right? Amazingly, the next day, which means only a very short time, Jonah was able to enjoy the plant and its benefit, just one day. And we are so upset about joy that's going to last one day in life. Little toy gets lost, destroyed. And God's life lesson continues with this pretty aggressive worm so that it attacks the plant. And he fulfills the mission, and the vine withers. And then, Lord, do you see the sequence of what God is doing? He provides a east wind, as opposed to west wind or northeast wind, but east wind, so that it'll hit against Jonah face on. And I can't take it anymore. Right? He becomes so uncomfortable. And Jonah was so uncomfortable that he asked the Lord, I want to die. It's better for me to die than to live. Right? And then, why was Jonah so angry again? Because he was uncomfortable. You know, one of the idols that you treasure so most, and me too, is your comfort. One of the idols that you don't want to let go, like the Lord of the Ring. You know that's wrong, but you don't let go. It's your comfort. You want to be a little bit more comfortable. Right? He was angry because now he's uncomfortable, but he was angry that because he lost something he loves. What was that? A plant that gives him comfort. Revealing his heart. Gadol heart? No. Petty heart. Very pathetic heart. Don't you think? And Lord said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry for the plant? You didn't plant it. You didn't give birth to it. You didn't make it grow. Besides, it was just for a day. And you are so upset, you want to die? Do you see what God is doing? Revealing his heart. Ridiculousness of his heart. And then Jonah responded, yes, I am so right to be angry. Angry enough to die. And that's an amazing statement. He never died because he never did. But God did. Because he's so right about his anger. Okay? So, what's God's final response? Those last two verses. And these are the key verses I want to explain. If you could just look at the conclusion of the book. The Lord said, you pity the plant. That's your love. That's your heart. You pity the plant. That's why you're angry. I pity Nineveh. He reveals his heart. You pity the plant. Jonah, you pity plant. I pity Nineveh. Do you see what God is doing? God is giving him a lesson. He's basically giving a logic. Just like Jesus spoke in the Gospels. Do you remember Jesus said, you know, when your son asks for a bread, you don't give him a stone. When your son asks for a fish, you don't give him a snake or a scorpion. You, wicked fathers, right? Human fathers, they know how to give good things to their children. How much more will Heavenly Father will give you the good things? Do you see that logic? From lesser to greater logic. You do that, you wicked human fathers. Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father will give you the good things? God is doing the same thing. You pity that. You treasure that. How much more I need to treasure 600,000 lost human souls? Do you hear it, people? What's noticeable is Jonah pitied the plant and Lord pitied Nineveh. Jonah pitied the plant, petty and selfish. And God pitied Nineveh, gadol and selfless. He's going to give himself. Do you see the different kind of pity here? Right? Jonah pitied the plan for which he did not labor, meaning not a son. He never gave a birth or made it grow, which came into being just for a very short time. One night it was birthed and one night it was perished. Literally, the Bible says it was perished. Plant perished in one day. And you pitied it. But this millions of people will perish forever. And you don't pity that? Should I not pity that? I don't know what your concern is in your life. I don't know what you pity in your life. But that's the heart of God, people. I don't know what your main goal is in your life. You know, it was birthed yesterday and it died next day. Just 24 hours. It can't be that important to you. And should I not pity? That's what God is speaking to Jonah. Should I not pity? Right? This 120,000 young children who do not know the difference between left and right hand. That means there are 600,000 lost people who will be perished forever. And I should not pity? I should just destroy them? Pour my destruction upon them? They should eternally perish? That's what God is speaking to Jonah. Are you listening, Jonas? Right? I think that's what the Lord is doing. Are you listening, Jonas? You're so concerned about your plant, your vine. That's why you're upset. You're angry. Displeased. Okay? And the book and the lesson of Jonah ends with a question. Should I not pity Nineveh, the great city? And again, Jonah has no answer. There's no answer. It ends with a question. Right? I just want to close. I want to explain the word pity. Should I not pity? The word pity, and NIV renders concern, but the original word is chus. Okay, chus with het, meaning mercy, pity, compassion of God, and it is used only 24 times in the Old Testament. Please listen to this. This is important information. 24 times in the Old Testament, and every time almost exclusively in prophecies related with a disaster and judgment. In other words, you are standing condemned. And God feels chus towards you. That's the context. It's in Ezekiel. It's in the prophecies exclusively related to disasters and judgment upon you. God feels chus, pity towards you. And it is used to describe emotion. This is the theological dictionary of the Old Testament. Very helpful. God has emotion. You know that, right? God angers. God is pleased. God is jealous. God is happy. He dances in the Bible. When one lost comes back, he rejoices. Do you rejoice? It's an emotion. Emotion of mercy towards someone who is standing condemned. Thirdly, it is primarily personal. There are about, 40, 50 people here, let's say, and it's not 40 people together kind of compassion. It's one Jonah at a time, because you are like Jonah. You know, I illustrated this in Korean service. I have three children, okay? We go to a park, and they go to different places, and they play, and we're time to come home, and two of them comes back. They come back, and one is missing. And do I say, well, two out of three ain't bad, let's go home? I don't say that. God, who's each of you as if there is only one of you? Right? That's what Martin Luther says. He loves you as if there is only one of you in this world. One more. This word is always antecedent of action. God is not just talker. He always follows through with action. So he spares you from, the word spares you from the disaster and judgment that you will receive otherwise. Right? I love that word, spare. Remember that word in Romans 8:32? He who did not spare his own son. Oh. Always antecedent of action of a soteriological activity, saving action. So he spares. Lord God, chus, pity you personally, emotionally, with an action. That's what hush means. And Jonah pity the plant, but the Lord God pity Nineveh. Okay? So what did Lord do? We asked that question in the beginning. So okay, so he has compassion, mercy towards you. What did he do to spare these Ninevites? Right? It's in Book of Jonah. Can you believe that? Verse 5. Jonah went out of the city and sat at the east of the city and made a booth for himself there, and he sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Jesus said, Jonah's story is my story, right? Yeshua's story, Lord is salvation story. Just as Jonah went out of the city of Nineveh, Jesus came and went out of the city of Jerusalem to a place called Golgotha. I've been to Golgotha, actually. It's right out of the city, outskirt of Jerusalem, and it's a garbage dump on the hill of Calvary. So he went out of the city of Jerusalem and made a booth for himself. Instead of making a booth for himself, God made an altar for you. Altar for himself. Right? So Jonah sat underneath the shade, just become comfortable, and he wanted to see what's going to happen to you. He actually went on a cross. And he took the judgment upon himself. Your judgment. He did not sit and watch. He actually was angry enough to die. And God poured anger upon himself. The wrath upon his son Jesus, Yeshua. He poured destruction and disaster upon himself that the Ninevites must receive. You must receive otherwise. Why? Because he is so right. Because he is so righteous. I explained this before. Let's say someone murdered someone. I'm going to use June again. Okay? June and I are pretty close. At least I think we are. Right? We're pretty close. Chloe. June murders someone, and I'm a judge. June, why did you do that? All right, June, just be careful next time. I'll let you go. If I do that, am I a righteous person? Absolutely not. I'm just a complete unrighteous person. God cannot just say, okay, I spare you. He could never do that. That would be unrighteous. But he poured that destruction that June deserved, Ninevite deserves, and you and I deserve upon Yeshua. And he demonstrated his righteousness. He's right. He's infinitely right. Romans chapter 3 says, let God be right, let all men be a liar. When in doubt, you should seek God. Am I right? That's what God is asking you. Are you right? Is it right for you to be angry? Why are you so angry? Are you angry about your vine? That's what the Lord is speaking to Jonah. Okay. Yes, Lord's chus and pity is antecedent of action. And he came and took on the judgment. Why? Because Lord God is deeply, emotionally, and personally pitiful towards you, your destruction. The fact that you're standing condemned. Brothers and sisters, you're standing condemned. John chapter 3:17. You're standing condemned. That's why he feels pity towards you. You're standing condemned. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You're standing condemned, Jesus said. What happened to Jonah? Okay, I asked you to think about that question last week. I don't know whether some of you really think about it. I guess he repented. Not like that. I look at Jonah chapter 4, which I feel it is so unnecessary. It's unnecessary. His mission is done. He saved the entire city, 600,000 men. And who cares about this ridiculous person? He's so ridiculous, isn't he? So petty. So selfish. So difficult to talk to. Like you and me. You know we don't change easily. You know that, right? You don't change easy. You don't listen to people easy. You don't. I don't. You know what that is? That's the nature of sin. We are just hopeless people without powerful grace of God. Let me tell you something. I've never seen a person so easy to come to Christ. I've never seen one. Why is Jonah chapter 4 there? And the answer is because Jonah wrote it. How could he possibly write about himself the way he is written in Jonah chapter 4? And I think about it. You don't see any way to him try to justify Jonah here, right? You don't see that. You don't see any sign of Jonah try to kind of cover up Jonah's point of view kind of thing here, right? You don't see that. And I'm thinking about how is it possible that Jonah is able to write this, which means it's after Jonah chapter 4, the way he wrote it in the book of Jonah. And only reasonable conviction that I get is because his heart turned, really turned, right? When God spoke to Jonah, you pity plant. You love it. That's why you're so upset. But instead of indicting him or yelling at him, Lord speaks to him like a father speaks to a little child who doesn't know what he's talking about. You pity that? That's important to you? It only lasted one day. You did not give birth. You did not make it raise. That's not your son. But these are the people, 600,000 souls created in the image of me. And I love them. For all this eternity, I love them. And I care about them. I host them. I pity them. That's the missionary heart of God, isn't it? My brothers and sisters, what is the purpose of your life, of your career? You know, we're going to be talking about two sermon series on your attitude toward work. What do you think it is? Bible is very clear about that, actually. You live, you work as you are working for the Lord. Because you are. Okay? What is your purpose? What is your chus and pity of your life? What is the love of your life? What is the goal of your life? What is your emotion swings about? Gladness and sadness. Is it about the vine? Or is it about the souls? I want to close with a real hopeful note on a note. I think Jonah chapter 4 is about God does not give up on his people. Aren't you glad? Yeah. You should be glad. You should be thankful. I'm thankful. And God transforms your heart. Transforms your heart. By you turning from your selfishness and pettiness to his gadol, missionary heart of God. Let's pray.